Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mound Talk Podcast, the podcast where we have on professional baseball players to give us inside access and details of what it's like being a pro athlete. On today's episode, we have Mike Pasco. Pasco is a native from New York who played junior college baseball at San Jacinto in Texas. While there, he signed to play at St. John's University in New York, but ended up getting drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays in the 24th round of the 2018 draft. Now a free agent, Pasco talks a little bit on what he has been working on to help find himself a new team come this spring. All right, so you grew up in New York playing baseball. So I wanted to start with college first. So how did you end up going to San Jacinto?
Yeah, so basically I was trying to go to the best place possible to get me to professional baseball. So I kind of waited it out. So fall of senior year, I don't really have the schools that I really wanted to go to on me. So I went down to Jupiter for the Perfect Game tournament and did pretty well down there. And San Jack saw me, says, hey, like, this would be a good route for you, junior college route. I honestly really didn't really know much about the junior college route. Like, guys in the Northeast didn't really do that. So for me, I was like, I don't really know. But so I took the chance, went down there. And then when I got there, I absolutely fell in love with it. And like, they helped me so much develop into who I am today. So I'm so glad I took that chance and kind of like waited it out a little bit to go somewhere I felt like would have actually helped me. So yeah, I would make that decision like 10 times out of 10, dude. Loved it there.
That's awesome. So you spent 2 years there?
Yep, 2 years there. And then I committed to St. John's back here actually. But then that summer 2018, I got drafted instead. So I went to the Blue Jays instead. So
that's sweet. And y'all went to Grand Junction one of your years, right?
Both years we did. Yeah, my freshman year we lost in the national championship, which sucked, in Chipola. And then my sophomore year, I think we lost in like the quarterfinals. It was like some part of like kind of close to the national championship, but we lost to Chipola again. So they always beat us up pretty good. They got a good program over there. It was a lot of fun to play them. They got a lot of pro guys like every year. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, went both years, dude. It was awesome, man. It was a great experience, dude.
Was there any other pro guys from the 2 years you were there?
Yeah, so I think my freshman year, like 5 or 6 guys got drafted. And then the year I got drafted, I think 7 of us got drafted. And then like 4 or 5 of us signed. And then a couple guys went to D1s. And then a couple got drafted this year, even in the 5-round draft. So, like, you know, they balled out at their D1s, which is super cool. So, but yeah, I mean, dude, there's always just good ball players going there, dude. It's fun to watch. And since I've even been there, like, the guys I get now, it's really cool to see. Like, you know, they just keep getting good ball players down there.
So. Definitely. They're always nationally ranked, usually in the top 10 or so.
Yeah. And
at least even that conference, too, is just crazy.
Yeah. And they got a lot of good teams, man. It's fun baseball, man. I learned a lot down there. It was really cool for me to go down to all the way down to Texas to play college baseball. It was definitely like, you know, a huge part of my career in my mind. So,
yeah. So did you know, your sophomore year, did you know you're possibly going to get drafted or any of that?
Yeah. So like in the fall, I got a couple of questionnaires, like a sit down or two with a couple of teams. So I was like, okay, like, you know, if I put up some good numbers in the spring, I might have a chance. And then after my first like 4 or 5 outings, you know, I did well, throwing the ball pretty well. And then the velocity was there. It was like low mid 90s. So it was going pretty good. And then around like April, so like midseason in the junior college season, I started just had this crazy jump and started throwing mid to upper 90s, hit like a 97. Dang. Yeah, just out of nowhere. And I think it's just because, like, you know, the season, you get a little stronger during the season. You know, it was obviously super hot in Texas. You know, I just felt good, you know, and I just, like, you know, everything I worked on the whole offseason finally, you know, kind of came together like in the season. And then after that, I mean, I had a lot more questionnaires. You know, I talked to, like, pretty much, like, 25 to 30 of the MLB teams, like,
dang,
questionnaire, sit down. Yeah, it was crazy. But then, you know, when I was going to the draft, like, the crappy thing about me was that I only had, like, 15 innings out of the bullpen at San Jack. For the couple reasons being, one, we had so many dudes that do gas. It was, like, all right, one inning, because everybody had to be seen, either to be seen by D1s, or to be seen by pro guy. Like, dude, everybody there was a dog. Like, it was insane. And I loved it. So, but the thing was, that since I wasn't a starter, I didn't have 40, 50 innings. Like, scouts were kind of skeptical about, like, taking me.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 innings, dude, that's nothing. Like, for starters, that's, like, maybe 2 starts, 3 starts, you know? And, like, they have, like, 10 to 15, 20 starts. So that was kind of hard. So then I was kind of nervous. But I thought I did, you know, what I had to do. And then the teams that I thought were going to pick me were passing on me. And then the teams that I didn't really talk to as much were the ones talking to me on the draft day. So it was like a total
– dang.
Like, you know, like mind twist for me. So, but, you know, it worked out, dude. I mean, I it was really cool. Like, the Blue Jays picked me, and it was just awesome, dude. It was a crazy experience.
So how big during that transition, you know, like from the beginning of sophomore year to the end, did Tread Athletics have? Because I know you're big, one of their big guys. So,
yeah, actually that started after my senior year of high school. I got plugged with him from the Pitching Ninja, actually, before the Pitching Ninja was really like a big guy. I met him through some other people. That's a whole different story. But so I started working with Ben that summer. And as soon as I worked with him, I went from being like a mid 80s to like touching the 88 guy to like getting up to like low 90s, like 90, 91.
Wow.
As soon as I got to JUCO, which was perfect because, dude, if I showed up there probably throwing what I was throwing my spring, my senior year, I'm probably might not make the spring team. But since I was able to show that, like, I was able to hold velocity, like, you know, at like at least 90, 91 down south, yeah, that's good enough. So that started. So that was already like an immediate jump. And I worked with him all my freshman year and then, like, freshman summer, like, pretty much, like, those whole 2 years. And, like, every time we would make a program, it just got crazier and crazier. And, like, you know, the stuff he would give me was, like, the best stuff he had to offer to anybody because he knew I could, like, handle it. And, dude, I just followed it like a book, and it really helped me do it. And it was all remote, dude, which is a crazy thing. That's before anybody was doing remote stuff, like, before COVID was even a thing, like. All remote. Like, I didn't even know what remote really meant. I was just like, oh, he's just sending me a program. But like, that, yeah, like, it was just crazy. Like, all he did was just send me workouts, throwing, and then he would just talk to me, see how I was feeling, look at some video. But he's just a really smart guy, dude. And ever since then, everybody always asked me before they worked with him, like, oh, how'd you like it? I'm like, dude, you have to do it. Like, in my mind, you know? Because he's had so many success stories at this point, and he's just a good dude. Like, and now he's got his own facility, which is sick. So, like, he's doing well, man. It's awesome to see. So,
I got his book. I want to say I got his book my junior year of high school. And, I mean, I was doing a remote with Driveline at the time, but it was just, like, a little bit of everything, just the building the 90-mile-an-hour body. And it was just, like, this dude just has, like, it all together. And he's just picked up huge since then. Yeah.
Yeah. He just really went outside the box, like, figured it all out. It's crazy, which helped me. I'm a shorter guy. I need the outside the box kind of thing.
And so he has all of it down. I mean, the nutrition, I mean, I think that's one of his main parts, throwing and lifting. What would you say was, like, the one that really, like, helped you?
Well, I put weight on, dude. Like, so when I graduated high school, I was like maybe 170 pounds, 165. We really hit the kitchen and the weight room hard and just kind of up to throwing with, like, you know, plyo balls and, like, just introducing all that. Cause I'd never done it. All I did was, like, jigger bands and long toss. Right. I did that for the program. So now I'm starting to add in plyo balls, like pull downs even. And then just in the kitchen, the weight room, I had to be an animal. Like, dude, I had to turn into like a guy that was always in there. So that's what I did. And then actually what was perfect when I went to San Jack, like, I had a bunch of teammates that were great at that, like getting after in the weight room. And they were big dudes, man. Like, I walked in there 5'8", 170. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Had to hang. So, I was, like, athletic and, like, kind of strong. But, like, dude, these kids were on another level. So, they really pushed me. And then, honestly, eventually I got to their level, which is, you know, where I'm at now, which is awesome. I think that really helped
me. That's awesome.
Like, yeah. So, it's pretty crazy. So,
what would you say is your one, like, trick or one, like, cheat to gaining weight for all the people like trying to gain weight, you know, just eating constantly? What's like your one go-to meal or snack?
So I really like this thing called overnight oats, and it's a breakfast. So it's mad easy. You just get oats, some milk, and, like, you know, whatever you want, like kind of like bananas, whatever. You just put it all in, like, you like whatever, like a cup. I use a mason jar because then you can just lit it up. So you put it all in there and you put the lid on, you store it in the fridge overnight, and then in the morning, it's like kind of like a cake kind of thing, and it's like great for you. And what that does is, like, it allows you to keep burning fat in the morning, but it's like it makes you full, and it's good energy source for you to go, like, work out and stuff. So that's my favorite thing. That starts my day, and I just, like, you know, I've been in it for a while. I'm just not tired of it. So, and it's like it's really good for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really crave, like, you know, some sugary in the morning because that kind of is, like, sweet for me. So. But I think that helped me gain good weight and not, like, you know, bad weight. But it kept me leaner and athletic, which is, you know, what you want as a pitcher, in my opinion. You need that. So,
Perfect. So back to sophomore year at San Jack, did you have an agent when you entered the draft?
Yeah, I did. So I, one of my buddies knew this guy that was like, you know, looking for some pitchers, like, you know, the junior college route. And I sent him some video and he liked me. So he represented me. I'm actually with a different guy now, but the guy I was with to help me out a lot, dude. And he like, you know, made the process a lot more, like, less stressful for me. So I think it's pretty essential to try it and at least get, like, an advisor of some sort, or at least somebody who's been through the draft process to, like, help you out, like, for anybody who, like, you know, was getting draft interest. So whether it's an agent or whatever, it's just somebody who's been drafted before, just somebody to advise you through the process. Like, you need that just from a mental standpoint. So it's crazy. But
so what all – once you, you know, got in contact with him, what all did he do for you that you know of, you know, up to the draft?
Yeah, I mean, so – like, say, like, a scout saw me and, you know, he gives me a questionnaire. You know, I write down that, you know, this is my advisor or who's going to be my agent when I sign. You know, he calls him and he kind of tries to get, like, a little background on me, like, you know, where I'm from. Because I tell my agent, you know, about myself. And it's just somebody to go to bat for you, basically. Just to, you know, let these scouts know, like, who you are as a person and stuff. And, like, you know, that you really want this. You want to play professional baseball. Because, like, that's a thing. It's a commitment to play professional baseball. So you can say it all you want, but they want to know, like, you go an extra mile of trying to, you know, be professional about it, have somebody working for you to, you know, help advance your career. You know, it shows you're pretty serious about playing professional baseball. So that scout might not be like, okay, like, I can really consider drafting this kid now and investing money in him, you know. At the end of the day, they're investing in you. They want you to be a big leaguer, you know. So
yeah,
no matter who you are. So, I mean, everybody gets an opportunity. Some get more than others. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they're still taking a shot on you and giving you money to come play baseball. So,
all right. So once you sign with a team, once you, like, so you report to, you went to Florida, right, for the Gulf Coast League.
Yeah.
So then what all does the agent do? And, like, you know, like, the hookups with the gear, the equipment.
Yeah. That stuff is sick, dude. Like, when I went to spring training last year in 2019, like, dude, I had, like, 3 pairs of cleats, like, 3 pairs of turfs, like, and not even just from one of the Blue Jays got me, like, my agent sent me, like, a couple polo shirts, like, with the agents, like, or the agency logo on it, and, like, yeah, like, got a new Rollins, like, Pro Preferred, like, it was so sick, dude. Like, showing up to spring training with all that stuff in, like, your locker and your name on it was so sick, because, like, you think about that, like, you know, when you see the big leaguers do it when you're a kid. So I was like, this is sick, because it was, like, just right under that, man. It was awesome. Sick.
So now you're drafted by the Blue Jays. You probably had, what, like, about a month until the Florida season started. What is that, you know, like, the transition from, you know, the college practice and college seasons, and then into pro ball? What's that transition like?
From, like, a college point, from, like, to a pro point, what's the difference?
Yeah, that, and just, like, even, like, the, you know, your practice in between games at college, and then now that month before games start, what's that difference?
Yeah, I mean, like, so, like, practice in college, like, so, it's more, like, drill-based, like, so, like, you do PFPs and stuff like that, like, bunt defense, where in pro ball, like, you'll do more, like, game-related stuff, like, you'll do, like pick plays, like, picks a second, stuff like that, and, like, more complicated stuff, and then, like, signs, even, like, from just catchers to pitchers, like, you know, how they're going to be working with signs on a guy on second, like, more stuff like that. And then more, like, mound work and, like, bullpens and flat grounds. Like, they care more about that stuff, where in college, I feel like that stuff gets overlooked and they kind of just want you to buy into a program. And, like, they, oh, we believe in bunt defense. Like, that's our big thing. Like, we're not going to let guys bunt on us, right? We're, like, so the pitcher's taking so much time to just be good at fielding bunts. Why aren't they working on trying to throw harder and have nastier stuff and working on their pitches, you know?
Yeah.
We're in pro ball, that's all it's about. Like, yeah, you'll do PFPs because there's so much time because you're a professional. You don't got to go class and stuff. But in pro ball, dude, like, it's PFPs, but we're working bullpens. We got cameras everywhere at Rapsodo. Like, you know, that's what matters. We got to pitch, you know. And, like, we should be expected to do that as professionals. Where at college, like, might be that overlooks the picture of being a successful program. But
definitely.
That's what this is. But both – when I was with San Jack, I feel like we were pretty good with that, though, because – our pitching coach pitched in the show for 15 years, Woody Williams. So, like, he had a very good feel for, like, what we had to do to be prepared to win ball games. And then when I went to the Blue Jays, same thing. Like, you know, they're pretty advanced with, like, you know, analytics and stuff, and had people working for them that were really good with that stuff. So I learned a lot just from, you know, being around guys like that and just talking about it. Cause it was, it's like, it really started being a really big thing, like in 2018 when I was first getting drafted, like from like, you know, a player development standpoint. And it's been crazy how even in the last like year or two, it's gone, like, it's crazy how much like goes.
Were they big into plyo balls and driveline?
So at first, no. Like the first year I show up, I'm throwing plyos and nobody else is. I'm like, oh man, like, it's not, this might not be good. Then the next year, a bunch of guys are doing it. And then they hired a couple guys from driveline. And then now this past year, like, yeah, like they're full on, like they promote it. So I was just like, it's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like how much like it's grown.
Yeah.
That year. Cause dude, that was not a long time ago. And I remember in like 2016, when I first started doing tread, like my senior year of high school, how crazy, like bad it was looked like, oh, don't throw weighted
balls. Yeah, definitely.
It was super controversial back then. And now even when I it feels like I got drafted like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, but I got drafted like going on 3 years ago now. It's crazy. But yeah, the baseball is evolving like every second, it feels like now, like with all this stuff, because yeah, there's so much like information out there now. But it's super cool though, like, you know, I think it's awesome, but you know, people can't get lost in everything. I did think just taking the, you know, bits and pieces of everything, like the best things that you think that help you, that's what you got to do. That's what I try to do. So
yeah, it's definitely crazy how, you know, like you said, like a few years ago, driveline was one of those, oh, don't do this, like you might throw harder, but you'll get hurt a month in. And then now it's almost like standard for colleges, for, you know, pro ball. Like it's almost, if you're not doing it, like what's going on? Like, why don't you do it?
Yeah, and like you better do something else, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing to throw harder? Everybody's trying to throw harder now, because like now the expectation is like risen so much, like 90's not even cool anymore. You got to throw 95. Like, you know, it's just like, so if you hit 90, it's like, all right, you might be able to go to like a D1 now. Where like if you do 90 like 3-4 years ago, like you're going to like a power five school and being like the Friday guy, you know? It's just like, I mean, like, obviously it's probably going to peak eventually because, like, you know, us as humans can't throw harder than, like, you know, our arm will fall off. But, like, you know, it's going to be crazy, like, how hard most people are going to be throwing, like, in the next 5 years. Like, everybody's going to be expected to throw at least 95, at least being a bullpen guy. Like, I guess a starter can get away with throwing 92, 94, but that's obviously still, like, good. Like, it's just crazy. But, you know, hitters are very elite now, too. It's just, like, I've seen some hitters that, like, it's just like insane, like you know, a guy like Vladdy Jr. and guys like that. It's just like they can hit anything, and it's just like they're just born with it, and like they work at it every day. And it's just like I could never like think about being good at that. Like, I'm so glad that I'm good at the pitching, because the hitting, which it's like there's just no way I could do that. It's very impressive in my mind. I give hitters a lot of credit, sometimes too much, but it's pretty crazy. Like some of these guys I've seen, like it's like everywhere I've gone from like, you know, high school to college and in a pro level, like for at those levels who I saw hit, crazy, man. So,
and it's definitely got, it's crazy for me to see, like, you know, I've been a PO pretty much since I started playing, but like seeing guys hit like your changeup, just that's crazy. Like the movement you have on even most of your pitches.
Or like a fastball, dude. Like, dude, it's like, I can never try and hit my fastball, and then guys turn around on it because like they know it's right there or whatever. I leave it up. It's crazy, dude. So I mean, God bless those hitters, dude. I can never.
If you could guess, just a wild guess, what do you think the like top velocity in the majors will be in the next 5 years?
I can't see anybody going past 105, dude. There's just no way. I think guys will get up to that, but. Yeah, I think it'd be more impressive if guys can hold like 101, 102, and not even go to 100. Like that would be more impressive in my book than like hitting a 104.8, but it's like, you know, in the other batter's box, you know what I'm saying? Like, if a guy can paint 101, like DeGrom's damn near close, you know?
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. So I could see a guy like him doing it if like this all keeps evolving and people keep getting that much better. But yeah, that's what I see it maxing at 105. I really don't think anybody's arm can humanly possible throw a baseball harder than that. So I'm pretty sure it's science. I don't know for sure, but that's just my best guess.
Yeah, so, I mean
that'd be crazy though.
Like you said, just being able to physically hold it, like that's, I think the main point is like we're getting close to this peak.
That's a bigger, in my opinion, like that's more of an impressive feat. Like if you can go out there like every fifth day and you can hold like above 100 for 5 plus, 6 plus innings, like, dude, Like, that's insane. Like, that, you know what that's compared to somebody who can pull down 105 one time in, like, you know, the summer? Like, it's such a big difference.
Yeah.
Like, so, and that's a lost art too now, especially with the quarantine. Like, everybody is posting that, oh, I throw hard on, like, pocket radars and stuff. It's like, dude, like, and this is something I'm at fault too. Like, I want to throw hard and, like, hold it and also, like, pitch with that. That's nasty, you know, and that's what guys are expected to do. After Bueller, DeGrom, anybody like that, like a Blake Snell, Glasson, like all those guys throw so hard, but like they're still pitching.
They keep it.
Like it's still an art, you know what I'm saying? Like you can just tell like, that's just in them. And that's at the point where I'm at now, where I'm like figuring out with where I'm training at now and everything. It's just like, it's really cool to see because it all makes a lot of sense, like from a pitching standpoint. But like if guys, you know, the younger guys like high school and like, you know, younger guys realize that if you just like do stuff correctly and just put some like the smart work in and then work hard at that, you'll be such a better ball player than just trying to do like the IWA stuff and like things that like you people are just saying is good just to take money and stuff, you know. So definitely, all the right information is out there. So that's what I'm trying to do too, is like whenever people ask me questions, I try and put out like what I do, because like this is what I believe is the best stuff. So I mean, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I mean, in my opinion, like, dude, if I'm this small of a guy and able to have trained to throw hard, I feel like a lot of stuff I've done has worked in a sense. So I feel like I have some valuable information to tell people.
Yeah.
You know, so and then even some kids I work with now, or like even people I've helped as like some of my teammates, like I feel like I've helped them in either velocity or just like something in some way. So and like that's the best part. Like I feel like that's cool. Like from my standpoint, like, you know, it was kind of a grind for me to get where I'm at. Like, you know, have to, like, you know, really, you know, fail a lot and go through a lot of things, like, figure this out. But, like, at the end of the day, it makes me a better teammate and, like, you know, just a better guy, like, baseball guy, because now I know things that, you know, might help other people. So it's been super cool to kind of start to go that route ever since kind of quarantine started and stuff, because I haven't had really anything else to do but work on myself and then help others, you know. So it's been super cool.
And I wanted to talk about a little bit about your new, you know, program you're starting, but just before that, I wanted to go back a little bit into, I guess, this past off season. It's crazy saying that, but when, you know, you blew up with Pitching Ninja, really, like, got really crazy. Talk a little bit about that.
That was super wild. So I've always known him, like we just talked about, when I was, you know, working with Ben Brewster back in like 2016. I met him in Jupiter through the hitting coach of my travel team. Like they knew each other through Twitter, like just whatever. He was nobody. He was just some dad. His kid was playing. His kid plays at Georgia Tech now. So then when I became a free agent, I was like, okay, like, you know, let me wait a little bit, you know, kind of see if any team just picked me up, like without doing anything. And once again, hit like around the new year, I was like, okay, I'm going to put something out. I feel like, you know, if I put a really good highlight video together, I think, you know, it'll get some good interest. And plus I think Rob will help me. So I put it out there, tagged him, retweeted it, and then, like, the third pitch was, like, that changeup that I post that, like, moves with a foot. And so everybody was looking at that. And then, like, you know, obviously I was throwing, like, you know, hard in it too and everything. So I think that helped to go viral. Obviously Rob, like, put it in a good word. So like, that was pretty cool. And then after that, everybody was asking about my changeup grip. He thought it was a great idea to make a whole, like, segment about it. He goes, yo, like, just Dropbox me a video of like your grip and explaining it, and I'll post it. And it'll be like, yo, if people are asking for your grip, people should, like, somebody should try to sign you. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he did a lot for me from that standpoint. And then, like, yeah, obviously, you know, a lot of people started following like my journey and stuff, which is super cool because, like, that's what I've always wanted, is kind of start inspiring other people. And I remember like trying to be inspired by people, but I was always like, man, I really don't, like, I think this is really my thing. Like, I gotta be the one to do this, you know? So, like,
yeah.
So I mean, that's been like fuel to the fire all these years, but like now I'm starting to really see it. So I think it's kind of helping me really push like through all the, like, you know, what's going on in the world right now and stuff, and still kind of focus on, you know, what's ahead, you know, for me baseball wise. So,
and but, I mean, as a fan myself of baseball and as a, you know, another college player, like once you know, put that video out on Twitter and Pitching Ninja retweeted it, and like that started to pick up, I want to say like that just started a huge trend of, you know, other free agents, other college guys, high schools. Like, I want to say like you're one of the founders of that trend.
Yeah, you know, flat ground was a thing before, but it was mostly for like high school kids. And I feel like when I did that, a lot of guys were like, oh, I can do it for pro ball. And then, you know what I'm saying? And like, Or they're like, oh, I just got to show nasty stuff on Twitter. And then, like, you know, there was, like, two other guys that did it before. It was, like, this guy, Chris Nunn, who, like, was a lefty throwing 100. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I think there was another guy, too, throwing, like, 100. But before that, it was nobody. And then I hopped on there, and then that blew up. And then, yeah, especially this year, dude, everybody hopped on it, which is awesome, dude, because, like, some people go unnoticed, man. And Rob does a great job of helping people out. It's really cool because, like, now you cannot go unnoticed nowadays. You really can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't go where you think you're going to go, like, you know, you probably weren't good enough, like, at the end of the day, or you didn't really showcase yourself the best you could. You know what I'm saying? But
I think that's one huge gap is just, like, marketing yourself and getting yourself out there. And that's, you know, you see guys that could go so much, you know, further than, you know, what they're at or what they think. It's just how you market it.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. I mean, nowadays, man, like, I feel like the truth's out there, man. If you're a good ball player, like, the game will reward you. You just gotta work, you know. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot to learn. And it's a fun process, honestly. I wish I enjoyed it a little more. But, you know, right now I've kind of been able to really enjoy it and, you know, kind of look back and everything. And then, you know, kind of be excited about what I'm doing every day now. And then really excited about what's going to be in the future. So that's what I would, you know, give advice to a lot of people, is just really enjoy where you're at, you know, even if it's kind of like not where you want to be, you know, one day, you know, it's gonna be a good story, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, definitely.
So you gotta do sometimes.
From that off season to now, or I guess till the summer, you played indie ball in New York, right?
Yeah, so it wasn't even really indie ball. So, like, what happened was, like, all indie ball, everything got canceled. Only people that played were the MLB, right? So what they were able to do was they were like, all right, we can play a recreational league, quote unquote. So three indie ball teams in the Frontier League, the Boulders, the Jackals, and the Miners, made two teams each. And it was like, you know, it was either – so the Boulders was one, and then I was on the Braves. So those were the two teams. And, like, each team made, like, two different teams. So it was a six-team league. We played, like, 30 games. So we played Thursday through Saturday, one game each. And then we were practicing on, like, Tuesday. It was, like, basically playing college ball, but professionally – but super laid back in, like, a summer ball fashion. It was super weird.
Wow.
But, man, it was, like, one of the best, like, experience I had playing baseball, man. And especially with everything going to just to play. And we played in front of fans. Like, dude, it was awesome. I met a bunch of great guys. You know, I threw well and, like, you know, I figured out a lot about myself, you know, what I think I really needed to do to go into this offseason. Because, like, dude, I really consider the last, like, year an offseason, man, because we really haven't been able to play. Like, that we played. It was a little different, man. Like, it wasn't really, like, a regular year. Like, dude, April and May, we were just sitting at home. Like, I've never done that in my life, you know? Like, it was weird. I was like, it's, like, April 15th, and I'm not on a baseball field right now. Like, that's, like, you know, that just feels like a date that I'd be, like, playing a baseball game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just sounds so regular. And I was just sitting in home, like, you know, like, so, I mean, just to be able to get out there again was just, like, awesome. And then I think, you know, the way, like, not throwing as much as I did this year really helped my off-season program this year, because now I can kind of throw a little more this off-season and really work on what I got to work on, which is, like, 100% what I need, you know, just, like, and actual throwing reps.
I think you said it really well, that that summer team helped you really see what you need to work on for this off-season. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, especially now, you're picking up real big on, you know, active on Instagram, showing out, like, your off-season training. So you're with, is it Velocity University? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's Velo University. It's out of Athletes Warehouse, which is a gym in New York, like, right, like, about, like, 30 minutes north of the city. And then they're about, like, 30 minutes south of me where I'm at in New York. So, dude, it's, like, such a sick place, like, sick weight room. Like, three cages up the stairs, and then, like, you go out to, like, this big turf area, which we're going to do, like, live ABs and bullpens in. It's sick. And the owner, Nick, he played college ball, and he's just a really smart guy, and he basically went out and learned everything you can about pitching from everybody and took the best things that we just talked about and put it into his own words and his own thing. And I think it's super badass, dude. Yeah, I think, like, in my opinion, like, It's really impressive, like, what he's been able to do. Because pretty much everybody knows, like, how he's trying to teach it with simplicity is very impressive. Mm-hmm. So, for, like, a guy like me being athletic, he can help me do a little more, like, harder stuff, like, you know, at a professional level, because I need that. But, like, yo, for a high school kid that, like, might throw, like, 70, right, for example, he might be able to get up 10 miles per hour just because his stuff is so simple. Somebody that might be all over the place can just be like, oh, I can, like, you know, I know what he's saying. He's okay. Very good at explaining it. And his drills are just like, they're literally called rewire drills, like all of his plyo drills, because they literally rewire your mind and your body to throw the correct way and the best way to throw hard and healthy. And it's just like, I think it's super cool. And it's been super beneficial for me quickly because, you know, I've been able to, you know, pick it up quickly. But I think it helps everybody because his big thing is like, if you're very athletic, you're going to adapt quick. Because it's really what you need to do. Like, it's a scientifically proven way to throw baseballs, how to move on the mound, all that. And he does it with, you know, medicine ball for lower body and then plyo balls for upper body. So it's super cool. And just like the whole process of how he goes about it makes so much sense. So it's also awesome. Seeing him like start to grow. And I'm just trying to help him get out there because, I mean, yeah, I'm going to be biased because I train there. But, dude, like, I really believe in, like, you know, how he's going about it, you know.
Yeah. So, really, and I've checked out their Instagram and seen a lot. And it's like, I mean, you know, so I, like I said, I know a lot of driveline stuff, but, you know, seeing mm-hmm. a little bit of different approaches or even just more, you know, in the gym content that driveline doesn't post as much. And just seeing that mm-hmm. is like, wow. Like, so I think the other day it was either him or you put something for your, I think it was you, your triceps with the, what is it?
The TRX.
Yeah. TRX and triceps. Mm-hmm. I think they put something for like one of your, you're like your cuff, like your shoulder. And I mean, it's just stuff like, wow, yeah. I've not thought of that.
Yeah, dude. They really go outside the box. And like, that's what it is nowadays, man, because everybody's trying to have an edge. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to have the best product because everybody is very good now. Like, you got Treadflex, you got Driveline, you got Cressy. Now you have this Velo. Yeah. Like, you have stuff all over the country. And I'm missing a bunch. I can name it for days, like places that I would love to go train and throw at just to learn. And like, It's just multiplying every day, and it's really, that's what's really cool to see too. Is like you can really get so much better now, which is good for the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be really cool. So, like with the direction that's going.
What do you see? You know, obviously you just keep training, but what do you see your main couple things you're focusing on this off season until, you know, spring mm-hmm. training where a team comes along and picks you up?
Yeah. So basically, holding velocity, but like, you know, at a good rate of like, you know, commanding it. And you know, also being able to like pitch with it, man. Like, you know, like be able to know like 2-0, like I can challenge this guy on my fastball and locate it right here. Cause you know, if it's a 2-0 count, I got to locate a fastball low and away, or maybe this guy can't hit an inside fastball. So I got to get it. I got to hit that though. And I got to have the confidence in that where sometimes I feel like I don't, I feel like when I work ahead, I'm like, you know, I got all the confidence in the world, but as soon as I go like 1-0, 2-0, almost like, you know, I don't have like that zip, but I also don't have like, you know, that confidence to get it where I got to throw it for a 2-0 count or anything like that in that scenario. So basically like just, you know, no matter what circumstance I'm under, just, you know, confidence with each pitch. Cause I think that like alone is going to help me. And also moving the correct way on the mound. I had to clean up a lot of things with my mechanics, like, you know, front side stuff and like, you know, how early or how late my hips were moving, you know, how my lead leg block was working. Like, I was moving like very athletically and powerfully, but just not on time at all. Like not at all. And it made so much sense cause I didn't feel on time. I just had no idea like what to actually physically do.
Mm.
And what's so funny is that everything he's telling me to do, I've learned over the years, but in like different segments, like the drift that I posted the other day, I've known that with Ben for like 3 years. Like I was like one of the first people to like start working on that, but I forgot to do it because I thought it was making me throw balls because I'd be like, too far forward. But I was actually yeah. on my front side. Like I wasn't tight enough on my front side, you know. I was like going across and then pulling instead of going straight out and then getting tight with it. And then if I did that and drifted, it would have been fine. It doesn't matter. If you do everything on time and efficiently, you can throw so hard. Well, the hardest that you can with your athletic and, you know, strength abilities, but also like repeat it. But that's what I do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to repeat it because I'm athletic enough to be able to throw a ball hard for however many innings I have to. But I just needed consistency, and I always knew it'd be like kind of physical things because I'm good with that stuff. And then that makes my mental like a lot less stressed out because I'm like, all right, well, I just need to pull this a little tighter because I missed arm side. You know what I'm saying? Where if I missed arm side before, I'd be like, what is going on? Like, what's happening? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I was like, I had the catcher set up a foot outside and I swear I reached there and it ended up arm side, but now I know, you know, and so the mm-hmm. physical cues have helped me a lot, but it's been a lot of mental stuff too, man. Just enjoying, you know, the process of trying to really learn this stuff. Like I just went all in on it. I was like, no stress. I was like, you know, if I don't do something right at first, I'm just not going to stress about it and just learn it, because I know I'm going to be able to get it eventually. And trust in that process, I think, has helped me do it quicker, because I just haven't really put that much stress into these new variations of drills and everything that I'm just not aware of. You know, I just went into it, you know, with, like, you know, a really good attitude, and it's helped me a lot. So
definitely. So is that, so to go into your, you know, your new performance company that you're, or like your program, is that, you know, is VLOU where you're doing it, or tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah. So basically everything I learned at VLOU, and then like just stuff I've learned over the years, I take and train kids from my area in New York. Cause honestly, like, it's pretty deprived around here baseball training wise now. And there's some pretty good kids. And, you know, I like to be plugged in with the area, and, you know, it's a good way for me to, you know, like, you know, stay busy, you know, when I'm not training and stuff. And I like working with the kids, man. It's a lot of fun. I mean, they're good ball players. So basically I started doing that when quarantine started. And then once kind of like, you know, I ended with the season in Rockland, I was like, all right, like, let me go a little harder into this, like, make it a little more professional, just so I can, like, you know, as the winter goes in, I can be a little more organized, like, going inside, whatever. So once I did that and started posting, you know, cool content, started getting a lot of people around here, obviously, but even everywhere else, like, started, like, you know, think it was cool. So then I was like, word, so I'm just going to keep doing this. And then every day, you know, I've just been trying to make it better. So ironically, my velocity program starts this week. It's just, we meet twice a week at a facility in Poughkeepsie where I live at. And just for an hour, like, you know, I'm going to be teaching them stuff I learned at VLOU and other stuff I've learned for the whole month. And then in January, we'll probably, like, really ramp up and get them pulling down and on the mound, stuff like that. But basically this whole month is basically drills and, like, you know, maybe awesome. Like working on stuff like that, like mobility. Yeah, it's super cool. Like, super cool stuff. It's going to help them a lot that nobody around here would ever do. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
And I really enjoy it. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun, man. It's cool for me. And it keeps me sharp, because I'm teaching them what I preach. So it always keeps me remembering what makes me who I am. So that's really what helps me. Like, if there's anything selfish about the whole thing, that'd be it. It makes me a better baseball player helping these kids. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
awesome.
It's a win-win in my book. So I have a lot of fun doing it. And most of my kids, you know, it's hard for some of them to do some of the stuff I'm asking, because, like, I ask for a lot. Like, I'm making them do drills that we would do, and they're, like, 14, 15. But, you know, I've seen some kids make really big jumps, like, and it's been really cool to see. And I don't even care about the credit. Just seeing them, like, enjoy the game like that, like, know, like, if they work, they can just get that much better. It's really cool to see. So, because that's what I went through.
Yeah, and that's awesome, because it's not just, like, oh, like, you know, here's someone teaching me how to throw harder. It's a dude that has, you know, plenty of history, plenty of different, you know, like you said, you know, you got Ben Brewster at Tread, you got Blue Jays, even San Jacinto, you know, VLOU, all this stuff that you're, you know, you're combining what works for you, but also, you know, for the younger guys, it's like, this is a pro guy from, like, the city or the area I'm from. Yeah. So, I mean, that's even more of a reason for them to listen in.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's really cool, like, working with the little kids, like, you know, the middle schoolers and the guys in the little field, because, like, it's just so pure at that level, man. They're just playing with all their buddies, you know. I would kill to do that again, but, you know, it was really cool to see, like, you know, when I put in some stuff like they'd never even seen before, like some drills and, like, some even mental aspects about how to go up to the plate or how to pitch, they couldn't even believe it. And it made them such better ball players, and, like, you know, like, that makes me feel good, because, like, it makes me know that I can really teach this game for a long time. So I know I can always have a place in this game, which is cool to know.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And so I'll make sure to put the details to, you know, your Instagram for just yourself and that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
So one last question to end it off. Who would you say is your favorite pitcher of all time?
Pedro Martinez, dude. He's sick. I thought he was so badass, dude. Like, I didn't really get to watch him too much when he was on the Red Sox, because I was, like, super young. But when he came over to the Mets and stuff, I was like, man, this guy is awesome. And then I would watch his highlights when he was on the Red Sox. Dude, like, what he would do to these hitters, man. And back then, like, bro, he was throwing 96, 97. That was hard. Like, nobody did that, you know. Like, think about, like, Eric Gagne was, like, the top closer saving every game. He was throwing 96, 97. Like, that was, like, unheard of. Pedro's star when he was, like, you know, a small guy. Yeah, he was a little freakish with, like, his fingers, and obviously he's very athletic and mobile.
Yeah.
Dude, like, he's not a big guy at all. And, like, you know, he had 3-plus pitches, and he knew how to compete, man. I strive to be like him pretty much. Like, I think he was sick. I mean, I respect a lot of pitchers. I like all pitchers, like, all different types of guys. And that's what also makes me train the kids cool, is because, like, I can, like, work with different guys and, like, just picture guys I played with. I'm like, yo, I can kind of help you, like, do something. Just because, like, they remind me of somebody I play with. Because, like, you eventually you play with so many different guys that it just kind of cycles again when you start meeting different kids. Like, there's something that they do that reminds you. And that's what's super funny, too. Like, you know, it brings back, you know, some good memories and stuff. But, yeah, man, I mean, it's crazy, like, how all that stuff works. Like, just, like.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's – we'll wrap that up for the podcast.
Okay, cool.
I just want to thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, dude. No, dude, that was awesome, dude. I appreciate it, man. A lot of fun.
Thanks again for tuning in to today's episode of Mound Talk Podcast. To find more of Mike Pasco, you can go to his Instagram, @Pasco, PASCOE. To find his performance account, it's @PascoPerformance. And find us, Mound Talk Podcast, on Instagram and YouTube. Just search Mound Talk Podcast. Thanks again, guys.